I didn't want to.
Pull my chair out.
Let's just look at where we are today. I think it's kind of nice to refresh our mind and our memories. I don't know if any of you noticed the full moon this week. Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Hard to miss it.
It was so pretty.
It was huge.
It was in Virgo, but the analyst. Anyway, we're still in Pisces right now, and to me, that's the double-minded man. Shows the two fish, and one swimming toward the north, and one just going along with whatever's going on, instead of, well, I think it's important for us to have what I call present truth. Because it just gets so monotonous, you know, Sunday after Sunday. If you don't have fresh manna, I mean, it would break my heart if people came here and said, well, look at that, all that canned food you got, all that wormy manna. No, we want fresh manna every day from the Father, and it's ours to speak for. Just ask, what's the word for today? You know, it might be Thunderbird. Hey, it'd be okay. That's just being silly. Anyway, our moon has gone into Libra. There are some conflicts in the stars right now, but particularly with Uranus, which is the Aquarian planet, and Pluto. So we see conflicts in the land. If we just could study the stars with a knowledge that's been lost, we would have lots more understanding of the daily happenings, even in the news. We would understand them much better than we do. So our moon is in Libra, which brings a balance, and that's a beautiful thing. So that's where we are, and I think Kate wants to share something first this morning with us, and then I guess Morgan.
It's interesting that you say that moon is in Libra.
Is that high enough to hear you?
Oh, well, yeah, I think so. It doesn't matter. It's interesting you said the moon is in Libra, which is the balance, because what word came to me yesterday that is God is looking for two, that two may become one. And remember that he started dividing us in the heavens. You know, he decided to divide the sun out from him first. And that's before the sun and the moon and the stars were put in our heavens, this earthly heavens, on the fourth day. And remember that the earth somehow had lost its form. So he was putting form back in it, and the light is form. Darkness has no form, but light does have form. And so in this way, because the heavens somehow had disintegrated and lost its form, he put it back in there. Put it back in there in the form of his son. So he divided himself, is what he did, because God is light. So he began dividing in the heavens by dividing out the light from himself, which was his son, S-O-N. So he took form out of himself. And he took the light that was in himself and and he put it outside of himself. So out of his womb came the sun. And that was a product of himself in order to split the darkness that was. And we know that that light eventually walked up and down on this earth where we could see it. That had to happen. It couldn't remain in the heavens only. It had to come at some point down on this earth, this realm where we live in, so it could be observed. It could be seen, so it could make an appearance. So we could find out that when it walked on this earth, it will walk inside of us too. It will appear in us also. When we grasp that understanding of it being outside of ourselves, then we can pull it inward. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of light is within us, that there be no darkness at all, as he was, that we might know him. So he came onto his own, even on this realm, on this earthly realm, he came onto his own, those that had known light with him in the heavens, he came onto his own, and they did not understand it. They did not comprehend that light. Because after all, this is what we identify with, our humanness. And we have lost our form, we have lost our connection to that which we were in the heavens. He's bringing that form, that knowledge, that understanding back to us then, so we can connect heaven and earth, that the two may become one. So Jesus was, the Son was, so we say, the Son, that which was in his womb as part of himself, as light, separated out of darkness, that God's light might shine in the darkness of the heart of man. But what comprehension or understanding does light have with darkness? It doesn't. It has none. It cannot. The two are so different from each other. If you put light in a room, what happens to the darkness? It just dissipates. So the two, it just immediately begins to dissipate, because there is no way, there's no connection between light and darkness. It's the contrast. And that's that contrast. If we could see ourselves as this, before we knew him, before we were reborn, before he came to us, using those Christian words of rebirth, but before he came to us and made himself known to us, before that there was darkness. So he began really coming inside of us and dividing out that darkness, splitting the darkness within us, that we may know light. So every time that we allow that light within us, it scatters any darkness. If we just get a hold of an agreement, we agree with him that we will walk with him as light, as Christ did when he agreed with him with everything that he did on this earth. Everything that he did was what he heard from the Father. He had such a connection, a oneness with the Father, that he was in agreement with him. And that's where we need to get to, that place of agreement with him, that it might defeat the darkness that's already there, that was there when we were birthed in this earthly plane. But there cannot be any light unless there's first a falling away of the darkness within us. And there's can two walk together except they be agreed? Remember Hosea said that to the Israelites. He said, this was when all the prophets of God were saying the same thing, and yet the people would not hear them. And here they are. They're agreeing. The prophets of God were agreeing then on one thing, but the people refused to hear it. And so, when we are going about our activities on this earth plane, we need to be looking for Christ's word for us, for God's word for us, and come into agreement with that. But if we don't know what that is, we need to seek it out from others, those that know, rather than seeking understanding from others here that have no understanding of heavenly things. We need to come to an agreement with, to have an ear, to listen for it always. There was a time when I was away from this body and I desperately sought his mind and I wanted to hear it. I wanted to have it verbalized to me, and to make it real. And so I prayed for my husband, that God would instill that word in him when I sought him for advice and stuff, because we could talk about spiritual things. And he had an intellectual understanding of where I was coming from. So we would, which was kind of amazing, the few years that we had before his life in it. It was only a couple years where we actually had that understanding together and we could talk. I mean, here we were married 33 years and I only had a couple years of it before he died.
It's awesome, though, that you were given that gift before he passed and were able to have that divine connection that your heart had so longed for in Pat.
Yeah. So, but I had to prepare my ear to hear. And I did believe that when I really listened to him, it would come from him. And so I began to really listen for it. And I think that's where it's at. We begin to prepare our ears, like we circumcise our ears. We actually go through that process of saying, I'm going to, I didn't use those exact words, circumcise my ears, but that's what I was doing. You know, it's like the earth has to be prepared. The ground has to be prepared. So in that, I was preparing myself. I prepared myself to receive the seed, the word. Okay, and then I listened for it, and I listened very intently for it. And I was really, I would just marvel. I'd be just like going like this. And he did not know. I did not feel he really understood what was coming out of his mouth. He did not. But I did, because I knew that, you know, I'd been married to this man for a long time. I knew the difference.
Yes.
I could see it right away. What was coming out was God, as if he was speaking right out of his mouth. And I was just amazed over and over again. I think it's a good thing to do with a spouse or someone that you're really, really close with. Because we need to get under, I mean, in the natural, they're talking about, you know, and this is what Paul spoke of, getting under the cover, because our husband, but really our husband is Christ, our husband, that is our spiritual husband. If we don't get underneath of that in the natural, if we don't have an understanding of getting underneath of that, but looking all the time, prepare, our ear being prepared to hear, and then what he did was he showed me how to divide it out. He showed me to find the light that was in his speaking, and he separated that out from, and I could tell the difference right off. And so over and over again, he gave me that gift. And you know, and really, we didn't really walk together until then, in wholesome spirit, soul, and body, I feel. Like until we could come to an agreement, because if we're always fighting with the very close relationship, whether it's a husband or a significant other, if we're always, there's always that division. We're not coming together in agreement in all ways. We may on this physical realm, be able to do that somewhat. But I don't know that we can really get that unless we do, unless there's comes an agreement within us to hear each other. And that's not just for a woman and a man, that's a man and a woman too. That's both of them together trying to find an agreement and listening for his word, both of them. You know, if you can get to that. I didn't speak to Pat to say he needed to be listening to God, you know. I didn't say that to him, but I knew he was seeking him out, because for the first time since his, when his illness came, he was reading the Bible. You know, we didn't discuss what he read, but it was amazing. I would see him often reading it, and now that I look back, I wish I had said something. What are you getting out of this, you know? But I knew that it was a private thing for him. You know, there was no way he would have communicated that to me, because God was doing some kind of work in him that was very, very private and not to be shared with me. But I did sense it on a different level, even though, you know, we weren't speaking those words verbally to each other. I sensed that he was being raised to a higher level, probably as high as he would ever attain on this earthly plane. And you could say, well, he fell short. I feel like he came as far as he could go. I feel like we all go as far as we're willing to go, you know. And then maybe we're taken out, and who knows whether we, I mean, I don't really know. No one knows, of course, if we come back in another flesh form. No one knows that. You can feel it in your heart that we're kind of recycled, but I'm kind of like on the fence on that. I don't care. You know, what matters to me right is where I'm at right now. I know that this body is alive. Yeah, I can feel it. I know
present
it.
Truth it's is real. More important.
So this is real to me. So looking off to some far off place, what might be, to me is kind of a little insane. Because we don't know. Whatever we could imagine, it isn't going to be anyway. You know, our carnal mind's going to think of all kinds of crazy things. And I'm sure it's nothing like that. And it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. But in Corinthians says, be not equally unyoked with unbelievers. Well, let's look at that just real quick, and then I'll finish, because I said it's going to be really short. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They used to yoke, sometimes they would yoke animals of different kinds of animals together. And you know that, you want to be sure they're the same size. You know, when you yoke these animals together to pull a load, you want to be sure they're the same size. So I guess it's also used as a military term, not to go out of your own order or your rank. Yeah. Because that would make you unequally yoked. So you want to stay in your own order.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. That's a whole new subject in your own order.
Where did you tell me you were?
2 Corinthians 6. In 14. So that yoking, and you know, you can think of this as, it says with unbelievers, but really to me that is more lawlessness. It is the carnal mind, if we could get this inward, because what we're doing all the time is we're putting stuff outside of us. You know, the kingdom of God is within us. So what does that really mean? Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So what that's saying is that unbelieving part of you, that carnal, natural mind, is an enemy against God and is there within us. There's a part of us that is enemy to him. We're not all light yet. There's a lot of darkness within us, and that's that part that will have no agreement with light. Okay, so that's what he's saying here. When I said before that the two will become one, this is your soul and your spirit uniting in agreement with his spirit. This is my spirit, not only my soul and my spirit becoming as one, which is where we're coming into. But my spirit is his spirit. It's his spirit within me. So this is where we need to be yoked equally. We need to be yoked equally. We need to come into an agreement. Our spirit needs to come into an agreement. Our soul, if they're in agreement, needs to come in agreement with him. So that's what that means to me. To get this inward, be not unequally yoked with that part of you that is darkness. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And that unrighteousness is your lawlessness, your darkness within you. What fellowship can it have? It can have none. Light does have no agreement with darkness. And what communion have light with darkness? So that's really what I wanted to say. That's it. Thank you.
Well, it's beautiful.
Well said.
I'm pretty sure if you study the second law of Deuteronomy, you cannot yoke certain animals together at all. It was against the Levitical law, because I mean, try to plow a goat and a bull. I mean, hello. I've watched my grandparents plow bulls and cows, and you better. They don't get along anyhow. So it's wisdom to not yoke the wrong things together. And you can know in a moment in fellowship in people where they're coming from. I don't think you have to be a brain surgeon. I know in a heartbeat if somebody's spiritual or not. If they're not, they're not even going to approach the subject. And they don't want you to either, because that's one of their things they got on the shelf. They take that down and play with it. Sometimes it's play pretty. And so I don't mess with their idol. I let them have their darkness. Enjoy it. I mean, love it. Let it eat you alive. You're not my child. I'm not, you know. Now, if I see a thread of darkness or light, I'll, you know, grab hold, or if they give me an opening. But if they don't give me an opening, I let them have all the darkness they want. Enjoy it.
Well, what you're saying really is they're not ready for it anyway, so it's just going to fall on.
No, what's the point?
And pile of room.
My force it.
It hasn't been ground that's been prepared anyway.
They're not interested. You can't feed a baby that's not hungry, I'm telling you. Just try it. Because they'll give it back to you.
Puke it up.
You've got to wait till it's ready. I think that's beautiful. And I really think it's amazing that you, because of your faithfulness in your heart toward the Father, he gave you that time with Pat that was so beautiful and precious, and you recognized it, whether Pat recognized it or not. Although I didn't know Pat really well, but I do know the last few times he came to our home, there was a difference in Pat.
Oh yeah, I agree. There was something going on. It's like he had already left, that there was a part of him that had already left. I had that. More of that sense was after he passed. When I look back on it, it was like he was seen afar off somewhere else, and he wasn't really connected to this. He didn't even really care about it. I didn't see him grasping to live, grasping to hold on to anything.
He was just
at
ready.
All. He just waited for the time. It's just like we were waiting for the time. It's from the time that we moved there to South Carolina. Let's see, we moved there in 93, 94, something like that. So it was like 2 years, not quite 3 years. I would take a walk every day, and I had the sense I was waiting for something. And I wouldn't even say that to people. I feel like I'm waiting for something to happen. And he wasn't even sick then. And like it was a big thing. Like it was going to be a big thing that's going to happen here. And I didn't feel fear. Like I was afraid. I just sensed something was going to happen. I said it over and over. And then when it did, and then I had a dream that was very, in the natural, it paralleled what was going on in the natural, mm-hmm. and then it ended up paralleling what happened with him. And it just, and all that time, I feel like he was being prepared to go on. And he just accepted it. That's amazing. That is amazing to know you're going to go and just accept it. I think that's amazing. I've never met anyone like that. I hope that happens. I hope I can do that.
Well,
because that would be a really good way to go.
That's what you use.
It really would. To have that joy and that peace. I'd wish that for anybody.
Oh, yeah. Just to be a good example.
Sometime I would like you to come and read what I wrote in my notebook about a month ago regarding all these things.
Really?
It's like the present thing, you know, about the now. The now is the important thing. Whatever happened, whenever, wherever you came from, whoever your family is, all those things are not as meaningful as the present truth that we're receiving at this time. And of course, we'll continue to receive, I hope. But it's pretty interesting. I'm going to read my notes sometime. Mm-hmm.
We'll get together.
Okay.
Okay. Well, last week we started getting into this Gnostic text with the Gospel of Thomas. I guess we'll continue on with that. As I said last week, you know, as I'm reading these, some of these are going to be really familiar. And if you have a comment or want to talk about it, just say something. Pretty clear that many of the things that are said in here were taken out and used in other parts of the canonized version. Let's see. Now, Yeshua said to his students, "Compare me to something and tell me what I'm like." Shimon Kepha, which I believe that's Peter. Yeah, Simon Peter, said to him, "You are like a just messenger." Matthew said to him, which is Matthew, "You are like a wise philosopher." Thomas, which is Thomas, said to him, "Rabbi, my mouth is utterly unable to say what you are like." Yeshua said, "I am not your rabbi. Because you have drunk, you are intoxicated from the bubbling spring I tended." It's kind of like saying that Jesus is the enlightened bartender who serves up wisdom.
That's a really good Morgan. The enlightened bartender.
So, "And I took to him and withdrew and spoke three sayings to him." When so he took Thomas to the side and said something to him, three things. When Thomas came back to his friends, they asked him, "What did Yeshua say to you?" Thomas said to them, "I tell you one of the sayings he spoke to me, you will pick up rocks and stone me, and fire will come out of the rocks and consume you." Never says what they talked about. But anyway, Yeshua said to them, "If you fast, you will bring sin upon yourselves. And if you pray, you will be condemned. And if you give charity, you will harm your spirits. Now, what he's talking about here is I previously read, where was it? In Saying 6, he was talking about, I'll go back there real quick. Students asked him, you know, do you want us to fast and how should we pray and all that kind of stuff. And he basically told them, do not lie and do not do what you hate. All things are disclosed before heaven. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed and nothing covered that will remain undisclosed. So this is, he's going along with that train of thought. When you go into any region and walk through the countryside and people receive you, eat what they serve you. So he's addressing the dietary restrictions there. And heal the sick among them. What goes into your mouth will not defile you, but what comes out of your mouth will defile you. So, when you see one not born of woman fall on your faces and worship, that is your father. So what he's, you know, what he's talking about there is somebody who has found at one minute, so to speak. Yeshua said, people may think I have come to impose peace upon the world. They do not know that I have come to impose conflicts upon the earth. Fire, sword, war. For there will be five in the house. There will be two against, three against two and two against three. Father and son against son and father. And they will stand alone. So I think what he's talking about there is that he knew that what he was bringing to light would cause conflicts. You know, talking about tearing up somebody's playthings, basically. I shall give you what no eye has seen, nor what no ear has heard, what no hand has touched, and what has not arisen in the human heart. The student said to Yeshua, this is how our end will be. Yeshua said, have you discovered the beginning and are now seeking the end? Where the beginning is, the end will be. Blessings on you who stand at the beginning. You will know the end and not taste death. Yeshua said, blessings on you who came into being. Before coming into being, if you become my students and hear my sayings, these stones will serve you. For there are five trees in paradise for you. Summer or winter, they do not change. Their leaves do not fall. Whoever knows them will not taste death. It's also, those are in the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, and Mother of Books, which is an Islamic text. And ironically, the Norse. But anyway, the student said to Yeshua, tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he said to them, it is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds. But when it falls on prepared soil, it produces a great plant and becomes a shelter for the birds of heaven. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Miriam said to Yeshua, now in this case, Miriam is talking about Mary Magdalene. What are your students like? He said, now normally when, I found this interesting, when he answers one of his disciples, it's pretty short, except for when Miriam asks a question, and it goes on. Anyway.
Is this the one believed to be his wife?
Yes.
Okay, that would explain the long recourse.
Right. He said, they are like little children living in a field that is not theirs. When the owner of the field comes, they will say, give us our field back to us. The children take off their clothes in front of them to give it back, and they return the field to them. So I say, if the owner of a house knows that a thief is coming, he will be on guard before the thief arrives, and will not let the thief break into the house of his estate and steal his possessions. And for you, be on guard against the world. Arm yourselves with great strength, or the robbers will find a way to reach you. For the trouble you expect will come. Let someone among you understand. When the crop is ripened, the reaper came quickly with sickle in hand and harvested it. Whoever has ears to hear should hear. Yeshua saw some babies nursing, and he said to his students, those nursing babies are like those who enter the kingdom. They said to him, then shall we enter the kingdom as babies? Yeshua said to them, when you make the two into one, and when you make the inner like the outer, and the outer like the inner, and the upper like the lower, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male, nor the female be female. When you make eyes in the place of an eye, and a hand in place of a hand, a foot in place of a foot, an image in place of an image, then you will enter the kingdom. It's, let's talk about human transformation. So Yeshua said, I shall choose you as one from a thousand and as two from 10,000, and they shall stand as a single one. His students said, show us the place where you are. We must seek it. And he said to them, whoever has ears should hear. There is light within a person of light, and it shines on the whole world. If it does not shine, it is dark. Love your brother like your soul, and protect the person like the pupil of your eye. You see the speck in your brother's eye, but not the beam in your own eye. When you take the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly and speak out of your brother's eye. That sounds familiar. If you do not fast from the world, you will not find the kingdom. If you do not observe the Shabbat as, I guess, Sabbath is Sabbath, you will not see the Father. Yeshua said, I took my stand in the midst of the world, and I appeared to them in flesh. I found them all drunk, yet none of them thirsty. My soul ached for the human children, because they are blind in their hearts, and they do not see. They came into the world empty, and seek to depart from the world empty. But now they are drunk. When they shake off their wine, they will repent. If the flesh came into being because of the Spirit, it is a marvel. But if the Spirit came into being because of the body, it is a marvel of marvels. Yet, I marvel at how this great wealth has come to dwell in this poverty. So what he's saying there is that, indeed, because of the Spirit, the flesh exists. And yet, most people can't grasp it. You know, they can't grasp it, the true wealth that's there. Yeshua said, where there are three deities, they are divine. Where there are two or one, I am with that one. They have a little footnote here. It says, where there are three, they are without God. And where there are one, I say, I am with that one. It's just a different spin on that. On the take of that, I guess. So, a prophet is not accepted in the hometown, and a doctor does not heal those who know the doctor. A city built upon a high hill and fortified cannot fall, nor can it be hidden. So, you know, he's saying there, it's good to put it up on a high hill, but if you have it that way, everybody's going to see it.
But it says you are a city set on a hill. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he's saying there. It cannot be, nor can it be hidden. So, you know, if you have that, I guess what he's saying is if you proclaim that kind of thing, be prepared because others.
Oh, yeah.
And you are the light of the world, the city set on a hill. Mm-hmm. So that light will be seen because it's up there.
What you will hear in your ear, in your other ear, proclaim from your rooftops. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, nor in a hidden place. You put it on a stand so that all who come and go will see its light. If a blind person leads a blind person, both will fall in a hole. So some of these things, it turns out, have made their way into our common vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Even though they were kind of hidden away for a long time. Anyway.
My grandmother quoted that all the time.
Yeah.
If the blind leads the blind,
well,
they both fall in the ditch. And I used to go, what does she mean by that? I was a little girl.
Well, the carnal mind is blind.
Yes.
And if the spirit mind is blind too, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, the Catholics, I believe it was the Catholics, they, at least some of them, they have some of the apocryphal texts that are included in their Bibles. Mm-hmm. So they have some of these, yeah. I believe. But anyway, I don't know which ones.
No, they have the Maccabees and Judith. I do know those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Book of Wisdom.
Yeah.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. I have the Jerusalem Bible home.
From morning to evening and from evening to morning, do not worry about what you will wear. Well, it says here, do not worry from morning to evening, nor from evening to morning, either about your food, what you will eat, or about your clothing, what you will wear. You are much better than the lilies which do not card or spin. And since you have one change of clothing, I guess they couldn't translate that part, who might add to your stature? That is the one who will give you your garment. So I guess what he's saying is, you know, he's talking spiritually about our the light that we give off.
Yes. Whatever the aura is around us.
His student said, when will you appear to us and when shall we see you? Yeshua said, when you strip naked without being ashamed and take your clothes and put them under your feet like small children and trample them, then you will see the child of the living one and you will not be afraid. Often you wanted to hear these sayings I am telling you, and you have no one else from them to hear them. There will be days when you will seek me and you will not find me. Yeshua said, the Pharisees and the scholars have taken the keys of knowledge and they have hidden them. They have not entered, nor have they allowed those who want to enter to go inside. You should be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So, I mean, this is, you know, unfortunately this didn't change and it hasn't changed throughout history. In most cases, with the any kind of a caste system, when you have a, you know, priests in a society, they kind of use the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge that they do have, to control the population rather than actually being true servants for fear of losing control. Yeshua said, a grapevine has been planted far from the Father. Since it is not strong, it would be pulled up by the roots and perish. Whoever has something in hand will be given more, and whoever has nothing will be deprived of the paltry things possessed. Yeshua said, be passers-by, or as likely be wanderers. And what he's saying there is, I don't remember if I read it in here yet or not, but he says in one portion, that this world is a bridge, not to build a dwelling on it. The student said to him, who are you to say these things to us? And Yeshua said, from what I tell you, you do not know who I am. But you have become like the Jews. They love the tree, but hate its fruit. Or love the fruit, but hate the tree. Yeshua said, whoever blasphemes against the Father will be forgiven, and whoever blasphemes against the Son will be forgiven. But whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either on earth or in heaven. Yeshua said, grapes are not harvested from thorn trees, nor figs gathered from thistles. They yield no fruit. A good person brings forth good from the storehouse, and a bad person brings forth evil things from the corrupt storehouse in the heart, and says these evil things. From the abundance of the heart, such a person brings forth evil. from Adam to Johann the Baptizer, which is John, among those born of women, no one of you is so much greater than Johann, that your eyes should not be averted. But I have said that whoever among you becomes a child will know the kingdom and become greater than Johann. Yeshua said, a person cannot mount two horses or bend two bows, and a servant cannot serve two masters, for the servant will honor one and offend the other. No one who drinks aged wine suddenly wants to drink new wine. New wine is not poured in aged wineskins, or they may break. An aged wine is not poured into a new wineskin, or it may spoil. An old patch is not sewn into a new garment, or it may tear. If two make peace with each other in one house, they will tell the mountain, move, and the mountain will move. So, actually made quite a bit of progress. A great deal, many of those things are reset in one way or another throughout the scriptures. Now, the difference here is that according to the time period and what's being said, apparently some of these were actually written while he was still alive, because he refers to them himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, perhaps that's one of the reasons that it was kind of tossed into the dustbin.
Does it actually call him Yeshua?
Yeah.
That's unusual, because we don't...
Well, they're using Aramaic in their names.
Oh, okay. They're using Aramaic.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the, like, Yohanan is John, and Toma is Thomas, and all that. If they say to you, where have you come from? Say to them, we have come from the light, and the place where the light came into being by itself, established itself, and appeared in their image. If they say to you, is it you? Say, we are its children, and the chosen of the living Father. If they ask you, what is the evidence of your Father in you? Say to them, it is motion and rest. Now, it refers, at the end of this, it refers to, I'll just read what it says. This saying recalls the account of the career of the soul, or of the person, in the secret book of John, the song of the pearl, and the exegesis on the soul.
The song of the pearl?
Yeah, it's a book in here.
That sounds interesting.
So that's something that we'll come to at another time, but I'm not really certain what that is referring to. It says, what is the evidence of your Father in you? And he responds, say to them, it is motion and rest.
Motion, does it have to do with emotion?
Possibly. You know, I don't know, I'd have to.
Well, emotion is
His students said to him, when will the dead rest? When will the new world come? And he said to them, what you look for has come, but you do not know it. His students said to him, 24 prophets have spoken in Israel, and they all spoke of you. He said to them, you have disregarded the living one among you and have spoken of the dead. What he's referring to here, the 24 prophets, I think, in the Hebrew at that time, the Jews, their Bible had 24 books.
Weren't there 24 elders too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I like this. This is funny. His students said to him, is circumcision useful or not? And they said to them, if it were useful, fathers would produce children already circumcised from their mothers. But the true circumcision in spirit is altogether valuable.
We have all you.
That is pretty good. We need to write that, put that up.
That's good.
Yeshua said, blessings on you, the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Those who do not hate their father and mother cannot be my students. And those who do not hate their brother and sisters and bear the cross, as I do, will not be worthy of me. And he's, you know, stuff like this is probably part of the reason why they were disinclined to include these kind of books, because they are very plain spoken. And if you're not looking at it in it with a spiritual context, then you might get the wrong idea.
Oh, really?
So, you know, perhaps it was that. I mean, I think that it was simply that, I mean, there's already enough disparaging things in the Bible as it is currently, and possibly they didn't want to add to that. I don't know.
Well, and then they also said that these lost books repeated what we already know.
Well, actually, the new books that were written from these books.
Yeah.
So they're repeating what this is saying.
But there's some more, but there's shades of meaning in there that you know, and you get kind of a different spin on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what I like.
Right.
Because you keep reading the same stuff over and over again, and you get in a kind of a mindset, and so that kind of takes you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And lets you see it in a different perspective.
Yeah, at least you take it out and examine it, maybe play with it, figure out.
Like, how does that compare to what I already know? You know, and like, what is the difference?
Whoever has come to know the world has discovered a carcass. And whoever has discovered a carcass of that person, the world is not worthy. The Father's kingdom is like someone with good seed. His enemy came at night and sowed weeds among the good seed. But he did not let them pull up the weeds, but said to them, no, or you might pull up the weeds and pull up the wheat along with them. On harvest day, the weeds will be conspicuous and be pulled up and burned. We've heard different versions of that. Blessings on the person who has labored and found life. Look to the living one as long as you live, or you may die, and try to see the living one, and you will not be able to see. Now this next little part here, it's not very long, but it's interesting. He saw a Samaritan carrying a lamb as he was going to the land of Yedua, which is Judah.
Judah, yeah.
He said to his students, ... that person around the lamb. Okay. Apparently that portion of the scroll was destroyed. So they're not really sure what he said, but perhaps he says, it may be possible to understand that the Samaritan was trying to catch a lamb, and Jesus said, that person is after the lamb. And they said to him, the student said, so he may kill it and eat it. And he said to them, he will not eat it while it is alive, but only after he has killed it and it has become a carcass. And they said to him, otherwise he cannot do it. And he said to them, so with you, seek a place of rest, or you may become a carcass and be eaten.
Oh, that's funny.
You see,
all thine house have eaten me up.
A dead seek in the carcass. Nobody wants to eat.
Well, it's like they were, I guess it was after Lazarus. I can't remember. But somebody asked him about that, and he was like, well, let the dead tend to the dead.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He said that in a lot of passages.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he saw dead, he said, I see. The blind man that he healed, said, I see men as trees walking. And the scripture says he touched his eyes again because this guy was seeing too good.
Way too far.
Way too far in the future. He said, wait a minute, I've really fixed him. I've got to redo him because this is too much. But I think it's interesting that you're talking about the sowing of the seed and what was it called? Darnell. When the weed was sown among the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
The bastard, they called it bastard wheat. And it had a black head. And instead of bowing over like the wheat in humility when it was full of fruit, it would have an arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really been studying that word arrogant in scripture. And when it talks about that what we're fighting is not flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high and arrogant places,
mm-hmm.
that are so arrogant enough, she said it early in her teaching, that we're determined not to see in some areas. And that's scary, and that makes us arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh my God, this is...
Well, right, and I think that the chairs were... they were able to stand upright because they're thicker, heavier.
Yeah, they're heavy.
Yeah.
But their head sticks straight up
right.
in the wind.
So that's that arrogant...
The arrogant spirit.
It's
and it's black.
It's not light and malleable.
No.
Like a humble person.
And it'll actually make you sick if you eat it, they say, if you eat that Darnell bastard wheat. So, if you know any bastard wheat, don't eat it.
We got it in us.
Oh,
we
yeah,
I'm afraid.
Afraid, afraid so.
I'll just do a little
there's
bit.
There's a harvest.
A little bit more, and then we'll.
He's harvesting, not a. We're supposed to have come to that harvest. 2,000 years ago, we came to it when he.
Yes.
Before he died. Did he say the harvest? Was he talking about the harvest before he died, or did he talk about it after?
The harvest is ready, he said.
Did he say that before he died, or after?
Before.
Before.
Okay, so that's what he meant by the harvest.
But the laborers are
I am dying away, but you will live.
Yes.
This is, you take that on. You take on my, what I came to do.
Okay, so let's see, we're already to 61. Salome said, who are you, mister? You have climbed on my couch and eaten from my table as if you were from someone. Yeshua said to her, I am the one who comes from what is whole. I was given from the things of my father. Salome said, I am your student. Yeshua said, I say, if you are whole, you will be filled with light. So there goes the difference between our religious understanding of the word holy, which is where this derived from, this whole idea, is from wholeness. That's all it really means. It's not, you know, we've been led to believe that it's some kind of something else.
Well, be ye perfect, and we think that we're supposed to be perfect, but it really meant be whole.
Whole, yeah.
Be whole, be complete.
Yeah, be holy him and holy there. Anyway, Yeshua said, I disclose my mysteries to those who are worthy of my mysteries. Do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. There was a rich person who was very wealthy, and he said, I shall invest my money so I may sow, reap, plant, and fill my storehouses with produce. Then I shall lack nothing. This is what he was thinking in his heart, but that very night he died. Whoever has ears should hear. Yeshua said, a person was receiving guests. When he prepared the dinner, he sent his servants to invite the guests. The servant went to the first and said, "My master invites you." That person said, "Some merchants owe me money. They're coming tonight. I must go and give them instructions. Please excuse me from dinner." The servant went to another and said, "My master invites you." And he said to the servant, "I have bought a house, and I've been called away for a day. I have no time." The servant went to another and said, "My master invites you." He said to the servant, "My friend is to be married, and I am to arrange the banquet. I can't come. Please excuse me from dinner." The servant went to another and said, "My master invites you." He said to the servant, "I have bought an estate, and I'm going to collect rent. I shall not be able to come. Please excuse me." The servant returned and said to his master, "Those you have invited to dinner have asked to be excused." The master said to his servant, "Go out into the streets and invite whomever you find for the dinner. Buyers and merchants will not enter the places of my father." He said, "A person owned a vineyard and rented it to some farmers to work it, and from them he could collect its produce. He sent his servant to the farmers to give him the produce of the vineyard. But they seized, beat, and almost killed the servant, who returned and told his master. His master said, 'Perhaps he did not know them.' And he sent another servant, but they beat him as well. Then master sent his son and said, 'Perhaps they will respect my son.' Since the farmers knew the son was the heir of the vineyard, they seized him and killed him. Whoever should has ears should hear." So that's an interesting little tidbit that he basically just told them the whole story right there.
And he did.
Yeshua said, "Show me the stone that the builders rejected. That is the cornerstone. Only one who knows all but lacks within is utterly lacking. And blessings on you when you are hated and persecuted, and no place will be found wherever you are persecuted." That's all I'm going to share. We got a lot more done than I thought we would. But there again, like I said, just realizing that particularly this book and the next one were apparently in circulation at the time. So, and we know that none of the books in the New Testament were.
Well, I can see why the Nicene Council would not have that book.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That would have thrown a monkey wrench in any and every thing they had control of.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason why I like it's a lot more plain spoken, particularly some translations.
Thank you.
Like
the King James, although it's poetic and
it's nice to read it.
Their choices of coloring the language have colored the text of the meaning.